It's all right. All right. So as Jordan was saying right there, it is universal, and it's the two words that I wanted to write up there. One is it's obvious. It's obvious. And you can get into a discussion with somebody, but here's what I would recommend. If you ever get into a discussion about this, you need to have a notepad in front of you. Because what happens is that when you as you go through this discussion, they begin to get frustrated, they will inevitably contradict themselves 17 times. And if you didn't write down exactly what they said, their argument was, then, oh, that's not what I said. Oh, no, wait, no. Yes, it is. See, I took the note. This is what you said, because here's the ultimate, the one other truth I wish that he had of taking this one step further in this particular talk is, not only is it universal, not only are we bad at it, we want to be bad at it. And that's where our desire is. He talks about that, that there's no society that appreciates or that venerates cowardice. There's no society that appreciates or venerates selfishness. But ultimately, we all want to be selfish. We all want to run away in battle, right? You have to be, I mean, you are equally insane if you run headlong into gunfire for the purpose of dying. That's what we call, it's actually a term that we use at work. It's suicide by firing. And it's one of those things that we worry about, is that some insane person is going to determine, I want to kill myself. Now, how do I want to go about that? I could go jump off a building. I could put a gun in my mouth and pull the trigger. I could sit in my car in the garage and start it. But no, I want it to be magnificent. So what I'm going to do is that I'm going to commit suicide by firing squad and run headlong toward people who are employed and commanded to pull the trigger, and I'll still be killing myself. It'll just be somebody else's gun. That's equally insane. What we want to do is avoid. Our natural tendency is to avoid those things, to avoid being shot at, to avoid giving up my orange to somebody else, to avoid. I don't want to stand in the tram that takes me around the airport. I don't want to stand up and let someone who is weaker or elderly or got a whole bunch of stuff to sit down. I want to sit down. That's what my natural tendency is. And so it's not just that we're bad at it, but we have a natural desire to want to be bad, quote unquote, at these standards that are out there. And so when you're dealing with people, that no one wants to admit that that is what our natural tendency is. And that's where a lot of the argument comes in, a lot of the debate, is that to recognize this, to recognize that, one, there is a standard, and two, I'm bad at it, is to then say, I am bad at being human. I am not successful, or that I'm just, as far as my quality goes, as my being. And that's where it really comes down to, is that what you're challenging is you're not just challenging people's actions. You're challenging their very being. It's not just about being bad at being a person. It's about being a bad person. And so when you begin to do that, that's where a lot of the times, that it's one of the problems that we're dealing with today, and why people are so defensive about their ideas. If you tell someone today, used to, when Lewis was around and even before that, you could have a meaningful discussion with someone. They have an opinion, a view about something. You have an opinion and a view about something. You could discuss those two opposing views and isolate it to just those views. But today, we've reached a point where My views are my being. My ideas are my identity. And so for me to say that you have a bad view about something is to say you yourself are a bad being, that your identity is as wrong or as bad as the idea that you hold. Or your idea is as good, your identity is as good as the idea you hold. Do you see why people are so, I mean, in everything that we've talked about over the last several weeks, when it comes to human sexuality, when it comes to sanctity of life, when it comes to all of these firebrand, these lightning rod issues, the reason that people are standing on these things so hard is because if that's a bad idea, then that makes me a bad person. And it's on both sides, right? So if putting the sanctity of a fetal life in front of the wholeness of a maternal life is bad, then what am I? Then I'm a bad person for holding that idea. So it's not just non-believers, it's not just non-Christians that hold on to that, but a lot of people who are Christians on the other side, they're taking the fight the same way. And it's not about whether the standard, whether it's Christian or non-Christian, it's about this is the idea I hold. And because it's the idea I hold, it's the right idea. It's as good an idea as I am a person. And I'm a good person, so my ideas must be good. And so that's where it gets down to, I mean, really down to a fundamental argument, not about how good we are at, not about how successful we are at meeting this standard, not about how successful we are at passing this test, but about are you a good person or are you a bad person? And I don't want to use person, I want to use being. Are you a good being? Is your foundational essence of you, is it good or is it bad? And your ideas, in today's mindset, your ideas reflect whether you're a good being or not. And so this is some serious stuff when you start challenging people about this. So what else in here stuck out to you? Words that you might have heard or arguments that you might have heard in this one? All right, he mentioned something in there that if we didn't have this standard, we might fight like animals, right? Okay, so think about how animals fight in this, on what's really separating us. Let me throw out an idiom to you and see where you would put this. Where does this fall on these two lines? Possession is what? 9/10 of the law. Possession is 9/10 of the law. Now, that I don't know where that actually came from. It's just something that we say. That's why I call it an idiom. But, okay, so how does that, how would that definition fit into this concept of quarreling and a human standard and those kinds of things? If we live by that, possession is 9/10 of the law, what are we going to look like? By the way, Kenny, that's a nice hat. Yeah.
You want it?
Nope. No, but if I...
Right now.
No, but if I did... But if I did want it, once it's in my hand, whose is it? Okay, now everybody goes, I don't know that I want my society to be like that. Okay, but how does that, okay, why does everybody's face look like that? If that was our rule of law, possession is 9/10 of the law, what is our society going to look like?
You have to be big enough to maintain that possession.
Yep. So, big enough, well-armed enough, many enough.
That makes right.
Yep.
Survival of the fittest.
That's exactly, yeah, survival of the fittest. Boy, that's one. Survival of the fittest is one that you can pull out. It's like a gun with the barrel bent backwards. You pull that one out, and somebody says, oh, there's no moral standard. Oh, there is no, oh really? So I guess you live by survival of the fittest? Absolutely. Well, all right then. Can't wait till you buy a new car and I pound your face in or run over you. And now I have a new car. And everybody's like, ah, wait a minute, you can't do that. And then what's always the response? What's always the response? To put this, to put the burden of proof back on the other person, what do we always do? Why not? Why can't I? You know, it's very interesting. You start having these discussions with people. What we're trying, what is our ultimate goal in this? Now here's the thing, and he leaves this thing. Now imagine, right? He's doing this once a week. All right. So for the next 7 days after he gives this talk until the next one, what is he hoping to accomplish? What do we ultimately want to do in this? And this is so critical as we're thinking about this from the Christian perspective. What is my ultimate goal in having a conversation with someone about ultimate right and wrong? Okay, get them thinking and researching, all right? But why? Why? And this is the other critical element to us in the way that we conduct ourselves in this. Why? What do I ultimately want to accomplish?
Try to encourage a decision based on reasonable reasoning.
Okay. Well, let me ask it like this. I'm not asking my question very well. What's the greatest risk? If someone heard this and heard nothing but this, what is the greatest risk that we run? Where's that person going to end up?
I think in despair.
In despair. That's exactly right. If this is all I heard, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put a gun in my mouth and pull the trigger. Because what you said is there's a standard and everyone's bad at it. What's the answer? See, and that's where we want to get to, is that we're not trying to leave people in despair. We're not trying to leave people in fatalism, where they say nothing matters. Take what I want, give up everything I have, and just hope that this is where I come from, like with my vehicle. You know why I drive my Jeep? And I'm hoping someday someone will steal it and then feel so bad for me that they bring it back and put like a $20 bill on the steering wheel. Because if there's 1,000 cars in a parking lot, who's going to steal mine? It's 1,000th out of 1,000, right? And so then you have people who that's how their mindset goes, is that I'm just going to live my life in such a way. Why do I care if anyone steals my identity? There's nothing there to steal, right? There's no credit card to take. And people even will live their lives in that way, where they try to become so infinitesimal in society that no one wants to bother them. I don't want to be great. If I'm great, people will attack me. So we don't want to leave people in these mindsets. We want to continue on and take them. And unfortunately, what happens is oftentimes we get into these conversations and our pride and our flesh takes over, and it becomes not about helping this person to see there's an answer. It becomes about helping this person see just how wrong they are and just how stupid they are and just how much they've wasted their life. Because we end up getting invested in the argument more than we get invested in the outcome. And we just ultimately just want to win. I just want you to agree with my ideas because my ideas are better than your ideas. And so we have to be very careful in the attitude that we take into these things when we're speaking with someone, when we're engaging with them, that what we ultimately want to happen is we want them to come to see Jesus Christ. If that's our end goal, that I'm going to work through this process and it may take a long time and I'm going to try to win battle after battle so that ultimately I get the war, and if nothing else, if this person doesn't, if they never accept it, what I want them to see is that Jesus Christ is the only answer to this problem. This is the ultimate problem. This is the root problem of everything on the face of the earth. There's not a single problem that you can come up with that we don't take back to this. You say, well, wait a minute, what about physical problems? What about cancer? You're saying cancer is because of this, that we have a moral standard. Cancer is not a problem. You say cancer is a problem. No, wait a minute, let's just think about this for a second. Whether you die of cancer or you die of a heart attack or you go to sleep at night, one night, and you just don't wake up because you're 120 years old. How we get to the end doesn't matter. Eternally, cancer's not a problem. We're all going to die. Some people are going to die peacefully in their sleep. Some people are going to die painfully. Some people are going to die violently. Some people are going to die spectacularly. We're all going to die. That's not a problem. Ultimately, that doesn't matter. What matters is what happens after cancer. All these other things are, and he's going to talk about this here in the next talk, are just matters of fact. Cancer is a fact. Heart disease is a fact. Blindness is a fact. It's just they're physical things. And what we're dealing with here are the ultimate, real, eternal problems of mankind. And all of those, and how we interact with each other, how we interact with God, they all come back to this. There's a standard, and we're not meeting it. All right? Good time. And I'm going to flip on over here, and we're going to look at number two. Maybe. Hello. There we go. A little help.
It's up now.
Ah, okay.
It's just a right thing.
All right, so I want number two here. No, I don't want Robert and Nancy.
Increase sales up to 21% by adding another sales channel. With
Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis.
Is that louder?
Some objections. Some of the letters I have had show that a good many people find it difficult to understand.